The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. As Christmas draws close, we're feeling more excited about Christmas. Even despite COVID-19 and the fear of potential restrictions and lockdowns. And today's gospel that we just heard even whets our appetite for the celebration of Christ's birth. Though it will be a different celebration than last year, nevertheless, Christ's love and peace are still greater than all of the concerns and the burdens that we carry. Actually, it reminds me a bit of last Christmas, which was my first Christmas as a priest, since I was ordained in May 2019. And I was at St. Anne's in Ancaster with now Auxiliary Bishop-elect Wayne Lobsinger, who was recently appointed the Auxiliary Bishop of our diocese. And that Christmas was a beautiful, profound experience, and the joy and the excitement of Christ's birth overshadowed the eventual tiredness I felt after being present for all of our Christmas masses. And everything was pervaded with this sweetness of the Christmas season. And why is Christmas so sweet, so exciting? Because Christmas was a long time coming, and the readings today even highlight that. Christmas was awaited for centuries. In fact, even in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible after Adam and Eve fall, God promises one day a Savior will come to be born of a special woman, a new Eve, if you will. And that woman is, of course, Mary. And over the centuries, hundreds of prophecies about this anointed one, this Messiah, were given to God, from God to the prophets. And the Bible is not just one book, but it's like a mini library with so many parts from different ages of history. And they all converge. They converge on Jesus Christ, this anointed Messiah, who would be born humbly and eventually die on the cross to save us from the greatest evil that there is in this world, sin. In the first reading, we heard of King David, the greatest king of the Old Testament. And King David committed such serious sins as essentially murdering another man to be able to commit adultery with that man's wife. Yet he was so sorry for his sins, and he turned his life around with God's help. And God made him the greatest king of all of the Old Testament, from whom Jesus Christ would descend. We heard today in Psalm 89, I have made a covenant with my chosen one, I have sworn to my servant David. I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. That's a throne for Jesus Christ to sit on as king. And no one has ever been more prepared for and longed for than Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ fulfilled hundreds of prophecies made about him, down to the details of where and how he would be born, many of the things he would do during his life that many people, well, no one else could even do, and how he would die, and so on. No one else in history has ever had so many prophecies written about them, and still more, actually fulfilled every single one of them. Only God could do that. And this demonstrates Christ's divinity. He's not just another man, he's Almighty God, come in the form of a baby so that he could die on behalf of humanity. And St. Paul says today in his letter to the Romans, the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, it's now disclosed. This long wait, it's done. Through the prophetic writings, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ. So it's a big deal. I think it's almost so big that we kind of forget about it. All these centuries, all these prophecies, all this longing, all this yearning. And we have him right here in the Holy Eucharist. We hope we don't take that for granted. So how do you and I live that obedience to Jesus Christ, St. Paul speaks of today? How do we show God that we are grateful for this so long-awaited gift who saves us from our sin, who saves us from hell, and reconciles us to God? Well, as you prepare for Christmas, you're probably preparing gifts for different family members, friends, special people in your lives or in your parish. However, I want to encourage you also to prayerfully consider giving Jesus Christ a Christmas gift. I just want to throw it out there for your reflection. Why not give Jesus a gift? How about giving him a present this Christmas? After all, the wait has been so long, and though we weren't there in the past, now we can give him something. And doesn't he deserve it for all that he's done for you and I? So I just want to throw out three possible ways you might do that, although you can give him any gift you want. But I think it should be something a little out of your comfort zone. It doesn't have to be big and spectacular, just something beyond the usual to show him how much he matters to us. So here's a few options. You don't have to do these, but maybe they'll get you thinking. Firstly, one thing you could do is you could check out the Hamilton Diocese website, which is literally hamiltondiocese.com, and there you can find a Christmas message from Bishop Crosby. So perhaps you could say, Jesus, I love you, I want to get closer to you this Christmas. You could prayerfully reflect on that Christmas message and then use the Christmas liturgy on the Hamilton website as well. There's a short liturgy or prayer service for families, particularly with children, but really anyone could get a lot of out of this. I could reflect on this and find it beautiful and touching. So one way you might give Jesus a little special Christmas gift, just to reflect more deeply in that way and to check out even the little video that Bishop Crosby has put out and let it speak to your heart. So that's one possibility. Secondly, you might remember that recently I held up a Bible and said that Catholics need to read the Bible every day. And one special way to do this is to use your imagination to put yourself in the scenes of the Bible. This is called Ignatian contemplation because St. Ignatius of Loyola popularized it. So you read a section of the Bible, for example, the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, and you imagine the sights, the sounds, the smells. You use all of your senses to enter into that scripture passage. And it's like a biblical movie that you make and put yourself into. You put yourself in the scene as a character or just as an anonymous observer. Picture yourself maybe with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and watch as the blood drips from his pores as he weeps and mourns the fact that not all people will receive his offer of salvation, which he is about to pay such a high price for. Tell him in that moment as you look on him, Lord, thank you so much for doing this for me. Speak to him from your heart. Alternatively, imagine that peaceful nativity scene with Mary and St. Joseph as they look at you with a smile and offer to let you hold the baby Jesus. Carefully hold him and look at his peaceful, innocent, and sweet face. Marvel at the birth of so great a God in such a tiny infant. You can do this with any scripture scene, and don't worry if it's not exactly as it historically was. That's okay. That's normal. You probably don't know what the pillow Jesus slept on in the boat looks like. You don't have to. That's okay. But Ignatian contemplation, praying with the scriptures, is a great way to give Jesus a Christmas gift. Jesus, you mean a lot to me. Thank you. I love you. I want to go a little bit extra this Christmas just to show you that. A third beautiful gift to God is simply to pray the Holy Rosary, which is perhaps the greatest prayer in the church after the church's liturgy and the sacraments. It's also not just a gift to God, but a gift to yourself, because you'll find that when you pray the Rosary, you have this great peace, this great consolation, this great serenity, as one reflects with Mary on the mysteries of our Lord's life. And it only takes 15 to 20 minutes to pray, so it doesn't take forever. It's not like this super long prayer. You can listen to it online, or you can use great apps on your phone. There's an app called Hallow, H-A-L-L-O-W. It's a great little prayer app. And I pray the Rosary every day, and I'll tell you, I feel so much peace every time. And it goes by quick. It takes a little practice if you're not used to it, but you'll love it. And the church recommends we pray the Rosary daily if possible. So maybe one way you could give Jesus a special Christmas gift is to pray a Rosary and let it give you that deep and peace, the deepened consolation in this time as Christmas will be different. Maybe pray for your family. Pray for someone in need. Jesus is so pleased with that. So there's like a million ways we could give God a special Christmas gift. But why not do something special, a little beyond the usual? Because it proves our love. It proves our gratitude. If we don't do anything different, well, maybe we're not showing that extra effort that someone who really loves and is grateful would show. But perhaps the greatest gift we can give of all is the gift that Mary gives at the end of today's gospel. She says, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." In other words, she gives God her whole will, her whole heart, her whole life. "Let it be done to me according to your word." That total surrender, that total yes to the Lord in every aspect of her life. Ultimately, perhaps this is what the Lord most deeply desires from us, and what might be the greatest Christmas gift we could ever give him. And truthfully, we need to say yes to the Lord to get to heaven, because no one can be in heaven and not do God's will. So we need to surrender our lives to him who loves us, who wants good for us, who cares for us. So we just thank the long-awaited Jesus, who was a long time coming, at this Mass and this Christmas for all he has done. And I also just want you to know that Father Bergsma and I really love you. I just want you to hear that. Maybe it sounds a little strange, but like, we love you a lot. We really love being your priests. We really pray for you. You mean so much to us. I could talk forever about all these things, but I don't want homilies to go too long. So I just pray that we all have that opportunity to have the joy of giving Jesus a Christmas gift. And remember that God wants to be generous to us too, if we open our minds and our hearts, our hands to his grace, his action, and our lives. And God cannot be outdone in generosity. So may the Lord give us the grace to joyfully receive his love, to joyfully give something back to him this Christmas as a sign of our gratitude, and to imitate Mary's yes to the Lord.